Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star
Safari. And welcome to another episode of Why Space.
Yeah, some pretty cool stuff happening in the sky at the moment. Well, there's always something pretty cool happening in the sky. Now,
let's talk a little bit about this planetary alignment, because there's like everywhere. And everybody who comes to Star Safari is asking, where's the planetary alignment? Or they say, oh, we want to come and see the planetary alignment.
Do you know the funniest thing? And it's not funny, really. It's a bit sad. But it's possibly because, I don't know, maybe not a lot of science is taught in schools anymore. But but one of the things that I find interesting is people say, oh, on the 20th, because I think the 25th of January was supposed to be the day of the grand alignment, that some parts of the media had been reporting, and social media mainly. I think social media is mainly the blame for this, because you've got some people commenting on stuff they really have no idea what they're talking about. But anyway, they were saying, you know, the planets are aligned on the 25th. Now, does that mean on the 24th they're not aligned?
Yeah.
And on the 26th they're not aligned?
Yes, exactly. Because people buy tickets on those days that are advertised as being the days when planets align.
Now, planets don't actually move that fast. They don't go from all being in this. And the other thing is the alignment. They're not aligned. They don't line up. They're just all in the sky. So people get a bit confused about difference between alignment and all visible in the sky. But anyway, all they are is they're in the sky, and they're actually in the sky quite a lot.
So you can have two angles on this. One is you can say, all right, if planets are not aligned, then there's something really wrong with the solar system, because all planets are actually aligned. They all orbit in roughly the same plane.
Orbital plane, yep. So, imagine it's like, imagine like Saturn and its rings, but imagine instead of rings, you've got eight planets.
Which is a really, really good comparison.
And the sun is like Saturn in that. But the planets are a lot further away than Saturn's rings from Saturn. Otherwise, they'd be roasted.
But, you know, you get the idea. So then if you look at the planets in our sky, for example, as we see them from Earth, and you can actually measure angles. You can use your hands to measure angles in the sky and see how far away they are. So, for example, if you stretch your arm as far as you can on a 90 degrees angle with your body, and you put your pinky out there, the width of your pinky is 1 degree. And if you stretch your thumb and your pinky as far as you can, that's 22 degrees. So just to give you a rough idea. And in between is obviously half of that. Planets are differing in the angle that they make of their orbit by about 6 to 8 degrees. So it's not much. So it's kind of like lesser than your fist at arm's length in the sky. Their paths will differ lesser than your fist is at arm's length, and you point it out at the sky. And that part of the sky where you see all these planets, the stars behind those planets that we see in the sky, these are the zodiacal constellations. That's why the zodiacal constellations are so important, because they were the stars. Sam is making soundtrack. They were the stars behind those planets, and sometimes people would see there. So you can say, okay, if planets don't align, then we'd be in a lot of trouble, because they would break some laws of physics somewhere.
So when Mars, so this is a serious question, when Mars is in Gemini, does that mean I'm going to win lotto?
Well, Mars is in Gemini, by the way.
Oh, no, the only reason you I got that is because I haven't bought a ticket. Right, okay. So it's interesting with this alignment.
So by the way, Mars is in Gemini, right?
It is. It's very close to Castor and Pollux. It's quite cool, actually. They make a little,
very cool.
Yeah, the little group.
A little line.
Yeah. With this planetary alignment, it's quite cool, because one, it highlights to people to go outside and have a look at them. So that's really awesome, getting people to get outside and look at the planets. That's fantastic. So that respect, I think it's fantastic. The problem is, if you only think it's on one day, then say it's cloudy, because New Zealand does have cloud occasionally, like all Christmas. But other than our wintry weather this Christmas, sometimes it's nice and clear. And to be fair, actually here in the Wairarapa, we get very good weather. But anyway, if you sort of miss the 25th because it's cloudy, and then you're kind of all disappointed, you think you've missed something. But actually, what it is the stars are, or not the stars, the planets are in the sky at the moment. And they've been in the sky for quite a while, a good few weeks. So to the west, if you're looking, you'll see a real bright dot. That's Venus.
On top of it, Saturn.
Our bad neighbor, Venus, that's the one that's really hot. Don't visit it unless you've got a suit made of
The
lead,
good news is you don't need a parachute to go to see
asbestos,
Venus. So you
yeah.
don't need a parachute, you don't need to do anything, because the 100 times more atmosphere of Venus will slow you down.
And then you've got Saturn, as Harry said, pretty close to Venus. In fact, it's a little bit to the left of it at the moment. And then you've got Jupiter is visible almost directly north. That's quite bright. So that bright object you see directly north, that's Jupiter. And then you'll see Mars a little bit to the right of, well, a long way to the right of Jupiter, probably that northeast-ish kind of
Makes a
direction.
really nice line with Castor and Pollux.
Yeah, it does, Castor and Pollux. But if you don't know where Castor and Pollux are, what you'll see is this kind of bright red object, red star, which is
Orange.
not a star, and orange more, and that's Mars. So you've got those four planets are visible to your eye. So you can go outside and you can see Mars, you can see Jupiter, you can see Saturn, and you can see Venus, which is
Maybe
quite
instead
cool.
of alignment, we can say you can see these planets together in the night sky. Or you can see these planets together in the morning sky, or these planets are grouped because they're always aligned. If they're not aligned, it's not good.
Yeah, well,
Maybe
aligned in the solar system.
we can change the semantics a bit.
Now, planetary alignments, when two planets line up real close from our view here on Earth, that does happen occasionally. There was one a few years ago with Saturn and Jupiter, which was quite spectacular. I can't remember the year, it was like 2019 or 2018, something like that. And I remember looking in our telescope, you could actually see Jupiter and Saturn in the eyepiece together. And
Oh
it
my
was,
gosh, I remember
yeah,
that.
that was fantastic. So you do get alignments like that. Now, one of the things with that, of course, people get very excited when planets align because they think their gravity is going to add up and cause mayhem on Earth. Gravity doesn't work like that. Gravity is it's a pretty weak force, and it sort of diminishes over length over distance. So if you add up the gravity of Saturn and the gravity of Jupiter, it makes almost no difference at all to here on Earth. Now, of course, when you're looking at the planetary alignment, or all the planets aligned, or in the sky at the time, take some time to also think about the other planet that you can see, which is planet Earth, the one you're actually standing on. That's a planet, and we're part of it, and you can always see that one. Just look out, look outside, and you'll see it. In fact, inside as well, because it's everywhere. But it's always good to remember our own planet. So that's pretty cool. The planetary stuff at the moment is pretty neat, and it is kind of nice to be able to go outside and see four planets with your eye. It'll only last a few more weeks. Saturn and Venus are getting pretty low on that western horizon. So when they become visible, they're getting a little bit lower and lower and lower as we're tracking around the sun. Those planets appear to be getting closer to the sun from our view here. Now that means that eventually they'll be dipping below the horizon before the sun sets, so we won't see them at all. And so they're getting difficult to see if you don't have a very good western horizon from about, well, from really probably that early part of February, and then you'll lose them altogether. Now Saturn, really interesting. Saturn's rings, if you do look at it in a telescope, you'll see Saturn's rings are almost edge on, so they're not these lovely big ellipse that you see in pictures, but they're just basically edge on. They're only 20 meters thick on average, and which means they're incredibly thin, like a razor blade. So on March 23rd, I think it's March 23rd, they're going to be exactly edge on. Now, we're not going to be able to see that because, as I just mentioned before, Saturn's getting lower and lower and lower, closer and closer and closer visually for us to the sun. And as Saturn's kind of dipping around the other side of the sun there, we won't see it at all. So we won't see that exact edge on alignment of those rings. But what we will see is, again, pretty close. So towards that start bit of February there, first couple of weeks of February, it's really going to be the last glimpse of Saturn. And you'll see those, if you do look in a telescope, you'll see those rings super, super edge on. And not disappearing, but not far. This looks at the moment, it just looks like someone's drawn a nice straight line across the planet.
And it's very cute. And one of the, because I forgot, because I've seen it so long ago, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
In the same position. This happens every, I think it's every 15 years, 15 to 18 years.
No, I can't, somewhere.
And I did see it like this. I did see a very, very thin ring. But what's really cute about it is that you can actually see how squashed Saturn is.
Yeah, because it takes the focus off the rings and you can, yes, look at the planet. And, you know, there is a planet. There's, you know, there's these rings around Saturn. A lot of people forget there's actually a planet there too. That,
chubby.
That holds the rings.
Chubby Saturn.
Yeah, it's 760 times bigger than Earth, so it's a big, big planet. Now, of course, the other cool thing in the sky, which is amazing, we don't see them that often, is a comet. This is C2024 G3 Atlas is the name of the comet. Maybe it'll get a proper name eventually.
And Bob?
Yeah. Bob or Roger or something. Or
Haley.
Kelly.
Haley's already taken. Oh, no.
Yeah. It'll probably end up being Trump. But anyway, we won't go into that. this comet is quite cool. Now, comets are really neat if you can see them without a binoculars or telescope. So we call them naked eye.
Is that because we saw it twice?
Yeah, we did. So we've seen now, in fact, by the time you hear this, we've probably seen it a few times. Well, it depends on the weather, of course. But so far we've seen this comet twice. We saw it basically on the first night it got visible. A couple of nights ago, and then last night we saw it again, which is pretty amazing. And you can totally see it with your eyes. It was down on that southwestern horizon, pretty close to where the sun sets, and faint. Like, it's hard work seeing it, but you can totally see it. And of course, as it gets closer and closer to the horizon, it gets more and more visible. Now, the cool thing about comets is, as each day goes by, they get a little bit further from the sun. Well, in this particular comet's case, where it is, it doesn't happen to all comets all the time. Sometimes they're heading to the sun. But anyway, this one's been around the sun, and now it's heading back out. And so we're seeing that visually get higher and higher each day. Now, the cool thing is the tail is pretty extensive, and it's big, and you can see it. And there's been some incredible photos.
It's enormous, yeah. And you can actually see it with your eye.
Yeah, which is amazing. And I think that's the definition of a great comet. Ian was telling us the other day, wasn't it?
Ian Cooper, that is.
Yeah. That if you can see it, then it's a great comet. So this is the Great Comet of 2025, which is pretty cool. Now, it's not like McNaught, which we were talking about last night on the way home from the observatory. McNaught, years ago, that was a massive one that kind of crossed. It was nearly half the sky, wasn't it?
Yeah, McNaught was
big,
just incredible.
Mm,
I remember it. Yeah, I remember seeing it. And we stopped the car and just looked at it, and that will stay with me forever. And that image.
Oh, and comets are amazing. Though it amazes, I guess, because we do all this stuff all the time, but a lot of people don't actually know what a comet is.
What's a comet?
Well, comets are basically a hunk of ice.
Yeah.
Because stuff.
Dirty ice.
Yeah. Well, what we kind of tend to think is we think of the sun as big and hot, and the hot solar system must be, quite nice everywhere. Well, it isn't. The solar system is mostly freezing cold, and it's only warm kind of where Earth and closer. You get out beyond Earth's orbit, temperature starts dropping. You go to Mars. Mars is freezing cold.
Do you know when you go to Sydney or Melbourne and you hop in the airplane and then you look on the screen on the airplane and then it says the outside temperature is some ridiculous number that you would completely freeze?
Yeah, like minus 50 something. Yeah, 54, 56, something like that. That's because up there in the stratosphere, it's a bit chilly.
And how high is that from Earth?
Oh, they fly it. Well, hang on, I could convert this to kilometers. Probably about 15, oh, not that high. Maybe 12 kilometers up.
So 12 kilometers up, the temperature is so low that you instantly freeze.
Yeah.
So shall we say that the only place actually in the universe that we know so far where it's okay to exist is actually planet Earth?
Let's get talking about comets. So when we get further and further from...
Were you talking about how cold it gets?
When we get further and further from Earth, as you're going out, it gets cold. We talk about Mars. Mars is freezing cold. You go out to Jupiter, it's getting around minus 100 degrees out there in space. Go to Saturn, it's about minus 150. You get out towards Uranus and Neptune, the temperature's down around minus 200, so extraordinarily cold. Now, what that means, of course, is if there's lumps of stuff out there, it's mainly frozen, it's ice. And it's not just water ice, it's nitrogen ice, oxygen ice, that sort of stuff. So some of those molecules that we know so well here on Earth, carbon dioxide, bit of carbon dioxide ice, that kind of stuff. That's also on these balls, and we call them dirty snowballs. So basically, these you got these big chunks of ice, and as they start coming in towards the sun, they sublimate. Now, when you've got basically no pressure, so in space it's a vacuum essentially. It's not completely empty because otherwise you wouldn't have a comet. But what happens is that that solid basically turns directly into a gas, and it's called sublimation. And that's what happens when you don't have much pressure. Or very, very little pressure, or no pressure. And so that's what's happening to these comets. They get close to the sun, the solid material's turning into a gas, and they get this big stream of a tail going off. You get some other tails, there's ions and things go off in different directions and stuff, but it's,
There's an iron tail on the comet as well.
So they're quite cool, and you can often get, these tails breaking. You see two, and then you'll see other tails, and then you end up with these lines across the sky. It's very, very complex. And in fact, the comet that we've just been talking about, that shows some very interesting tail stuff, doesn't it? It's got like bits and swirly bits. It's quite cool.
They're all different because obviously they're all made of.
Now, comets, their orbits are highly elliptical. Now, what that means is that they come in really close to the sun, and they head way, way, way out, a long way away. And this particular comet, its orbital period, I think someone was quoting the other day, about 160 or 190,000 years. So extraordinary huge orbital period. It takes a long time for its journey around the sun, but when it comes into the sun, it whizzes by real quick. Will we ever see this comet again? Well, probably not. Are we going to be here in 190,000 years? Who knows? But we probably would have forgotten about it by then. And in 190,000 years, we're going to see a lot of comets. So it won't rate up there as the most spectacular comet ever. But it's 2025, and it's a new year, and here we are seeing a comet pretty early on. So that's cool.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah, it was quite a highlight of our observing nights, and we did a lot of exercise too because we had to climb on top of this hill.
Yeah, to get a better view of that southwestern horizon, we had to clamber up a hill.
That's really interesting. So when Comet McNaught came, it was very close to a constellation called Grus. Grus is a really interesting constellation, one of my favorite constellations, that is, because it looks like a cross. But it is a bird. And what's really spectacular about Grus is that it's got double stars. So if you go on the main axis line, you see double, 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 double stars. So it's very, very cute. And it's a really wonderful object to photograph. And these comets, they're kind of always, when you see them, they're in that constellation. So it's really interesting because it is in the sky after sunset. So it would have been a similar time of the year if it was in the same constellation in Grus when Comet McNaught came, and this comet came here as well. So they're in kind of like relatively same part of the sky.
Well, they're going around the sun, right? Sun's there.
And as we know, the patterns of the stars, they repeat every year. So next year, if you go outside and you look at the sky at exactly the same hour, you would see the stars being in exactly the same position. That is to our eyes, so not measurable. They do stars do move, but we can't really perceive them. So that's really interesting. I just want to comment about this alignment. I have one more thing to say. And yes, alignments do exist. So for example, the reason why the spacecraft Voyager went to visit all so many planets was because once every 175 years, there's a planetary alignment of the planets. So they all align in the same line. And from here from Earth, there were a few windows for launch available between 1976 and 1980s. And that's how the Voyager programs started because it was this extraordinary planetary alignment. It's not going to happen for a long time, though.
Yeah, it's yeah, and I hope we take advantage of the next one. Sent some cool probes out there.
It is extraordinary that it did, and it's extraordinary that the Voyager sent back so many pictures of those planets and the solar system. And very interesting, the pale blue dot picture, the very famous pale blue dot, where Earth is the size of a half of a pixel, that was taken on Valentine's Day, which is coming up. So wonderful thing to ponder on, and a wonderful thing to finish.
Well, no, quickly, just quickly, a couple more things. So, of course, the billionaires have been building rockets, right? There's Elon Musk, very famous for his antics, and of course, he's building rockets. And so he had a reasonably successful launch of their seventh flight of the Starship and Super Heavy combo. The Super Heavy was captured by the little chopstick things on the tower. That's the second time it's been caught, so that's pretty good. They're practicing that well. The unfortunately, though, the Starship disintegrated on its way back in, apparently from an oxygen leak or something. So that made a spectacular raining down of stuff into the Caribbean, I think it was. So a bit more work to be done there. But the other rich billionaire, old Jeff Bezos, he launched the new Glenn rocket, and that's successfully made it into orbit. Now, that's a big rocket, so that's bigger than the Falcon 9, not as big as Musk's enormous rocket, but certainly in that heavy class of rockets. Now, this thing, it's its very first flight, and it made it to orbit. Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing.
They're supposed to recover the first stage, but they didn't. There was a problem, but they weren't too worried about that. They'll eventually recover that first, well, on future launches, they'll recover the first stage. But, you know, this stuff's moving pretty quick. You know, there's this big class of heavy rockets. What does it mean? Well, it means it's going to be cheaper to launch stuff into space. Much cheaper, like a magnitude cheaper. At the moment, it's a few thousand bucks per kilo.
Would that be 2.5 times cheaper? Or I'm just kidding.
It's, you know, you've got, it's a few thousand bucks per kilo to launch stuff. And then once these rockets are working properly, they're quoting figures down around $100, $200 a kilo, which is pretty amazing. That means you'll be able to launch a lot of stuff. Now, launching a lot of stuff might not be a good idea. If you look up in the sky any night, you're going to see a lot of satellites. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that works out for humanity.
Well, it's the evolution of civilization. Like there's a scene in a movie called Jupiter Ascending, which I absolutely love. And it's when they're coming towards Earth and there's the swarm of satellites around it. But hey, you know, if we can make it to orbit and we can keep ourselves safe in space, this is progress. And this is where we should go as humankind. We should become a spacefaring civilization. That's otherwise we die. And so it's the future. We just need to make sure that we protect everything else on the way there.
Yeah, and we don't do anything silly. Yeah.
So this is from us, Harry and Sam, with Why Space. Thank you for listening.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.